Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thursday, Junkies coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and get empowered. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, February 7th, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning, Johnny Cakes Awville's here.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks.
And Jason Bishop.
Thirsty Thursday, boys.
Thirsty Thursday. Open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. The phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to call us on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Mm-hmm. You can also text us. Same number. Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. Jason will deal with you.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can tweet us just at be nice. Junks Radio.
Just be nice.
Going to talk a lot of Wizards on the show today as they've been unloading the deck.
The purge has begun.
Tony Massenburg's going to join us.
Golf clap for that.
Yeah, Wizards analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Yeah. He'll join us at 8. Later in the program, we'll talk about the Bryce Harper situation. Apparently new teams involved. Tyler Kepner, who writes for the New York Times, national baseball writer, will give us the latest at 8:40. And then the return of LeVar Ball on the show.
Lucky us.
He will join us at 9:20. Rumors that his son, Lonzo, might be on the move, but there's not that much time left.
I hope I'm ready to go to the big baller zone.
Got about
later.
9 hours to get that deal done.
Oh, welcome to big baller zone.
So but it looks like the
Anthony Davis thing's falling apart, at least to the Lakers.
Yeah, so, and it looks like he's not going to play the rest of the year. Nor is going to just shut him down and protect their assets.
So we'll see what happens there.
But why wouldn't you? I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to make the playoffs.
When we talked to Coach Scott Brooks yesterday on the show, the head coach of the Wizards, he did kind of allude to they're willing to make some moves.
I thought that was the first time where he was like, yeah, if there's something there, a real openness.
I wonder if he knew that those deals were close to
in
being
the works.
Solidified,
sure
or at least in
knew.
The works.
I feel like he did.
He's looped in.
Because of the responses.
He said it multiple times. Yeah. If there's a good deal, we'll do something. And it was total change from what the organization was saying just like 5 or 6 days ago. Ted Leonsis has talked about how they're not moving any of those big three guys.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was all talk.
That was his public.
And in fairness to them,
maybe they
the John Wall injury changed everything.
Maybe if Wall
changed
doesn't
the equation
hurt
completely.
The Achilles, yeah, then maybe they keep him.
No, I think for sure.
Even though that still would have been a bad move to keep him, I think.
Maybe.
But you're right.
But that made it a no-brainer.
Yeah, it did.
Well, they're trading away all their first-round picks, guys who they drafted themselves. If you look at the history of what Ernie's done now in the last several years, Kelly Oubre, who was a first-round pick not that long ago in 2015, was traded away earlier this year. Otto, who they drafted with the third pick overall in 2013, they've traded him. Mm-hmm. Markieff Morris, who I believe they traded a pick to acquire, they've traded
him. That's correct. He's
so gone. Once again, they are reformulating the team, and Ernie's still running the show for now.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to make a mess and then try and clean up the mess.
That's been the hallmark.
That's been the hallmark of his 16-year career.
I give him credit, though, for getting some stuff done. You know, you might think that there were small pieces, whatever. You're acquiring expiring contracts, and you got rid of one of those big three. Didn't think it would be that easy, but it was, apparently. And I give him that credit that he's actually making some moves.
Yeah, but I think, you know, who knows? Again, anytime you go down this route now, you are going down the route of getting worse. It's hard to imagine getting worse than giving up 148 points in regulation.
Well, we all
what they
that.
Did last
getting
night.
Worse when? Because I don't necessarily agree with that. Because I think Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis this year, they're better players than Otto Porter.
Maybe. But yeah. Jabari Parker can't play defense.
And you're getting 2-for-1. That's true.
Yeah. Who plays defense on the Wizards?
Well, they need defense.
50 points
Otto a was one of their few guys who could play a little defense.
And what I'd say is Bobby Portis grabs boards.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby Portis, by the way, lately, Cakes knows probably better than anybody because he plays daily fantasy.
I do, yeah.
He puts up some numbers.
He can.
Yeah, I think Bobby Portis is here for 2 months.
Probably. Yeah. Like I said, so in the immediate, I don't think they necessarily get worse. In the long term,
maybe for the immediate,
you're missing out.
Didn't Bobby Portis also steal a teammate in the jaw?
Yes.
Oh, he likes to steal people.
So, I mean, and Jabari Parker, I think, has kind of been labeled as a malcontent. So you might have some guys who are going to walk into the locker room who aren't the best character guys
okay.
for the Wiz.
But my point is, if you're just going to talk about the immediate, do they get worse? Can they get worse than giving up 148 points in Milwaukee?
By the way, was that a triple overtime game?
No.
By the way.
Oh, it was regulation.
No teams. Oh, okay. Teams in the NBA, I'm sorry, in 2019, they're allergic to playing defense. Look at the score in the Nuggets game last night. I think going into the fourth quarter, the Nets had like 106 points.
True.
It's the NBA.
True, but the Wizards were.
We're still second worst.
Oh, I know. They're bad.
By the way, they gave up 148, and that's only because Milwaukee
they
started laying
down.
Bricks at the end.
Come on, tell you something. It was 142 with 4-plus minutes left.
Yes.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's tragic.
Yeah.
And, by the way, don't think Portis and Parker are some sort of defensive stalwarts.
Parker can't play D.
They might make matters worse.
No, but JP's point's fair. You're getting two players for one, and you know, they'll still be able to – add something to it. They're not going to playoffs.
Oh, I know that.
You can't go to the playoffs when you allow 150.
Trust me, I know that.
My point is, both guys had better numbers, and this team struggles on the boards. Bobby Portis can rebound. He's tough.
I love it for this reason. We're free and clear of the bloated auto contract.
But, JP, I think Eric's point's fair. Portis and Parker probably won't be on this roster
next year. The rentals. I agree. Yeah, probably rentals.
And Wes Johnson.
They're starting over.
Yeah.
They're starting over. This is the beginning.
Good.
But this is kind of what we wanted, right?
I guess. I don't know how to fix them. I really don't.
This is how bad it was
last night. Well, at least it's an attempt.
It's a try.
And if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I know we put a poll on our Junks Radio Twitter account, and overwhelmingly positive just to move Otto. It didn't even matter what they got in return.
Correct.
But when you were saying that they had 142 points to 4 minutes to go, I tweeted this last night at @GlassJoeJP. It was 141 points that Milwaukee had with 6 minutes and 23 seconds left.
Yeah. They had 85 at the
half. With half a quarter. So with half a quarter, you know, your average half of a quarter is 15 points. They would have been giving up 160 points.
Yeah. In regulation.
Regulation.
I mean, crazy.
If I were Coach Brooks, I would have a gin and tonic in my Gatorade bottle while I'm coaching the games.
Well, at least they really focused on Giannis and didn't let him go crazy.
Wow.
He was only 17 for 21 from the floor.
What do you mean? They made him miss four shots.
How many dunks and layups did he have? Every time I turned
around.
Did
Coach Brooks talk about that?
Oh, yeah. He said we're going to have to find a way to stop Giannis.
Well, he didn't find a way.
I mean, he probably won't be because of James Harden, but if it wasn't for James Harden, he'd be the MVP of the league.
He's a great player. Great
I mean,
player.
He actually hit 3 of 3 3-pointers yesterday. That's when you know.
Well, he never does that.
A big game.
You want him shooting from 3-point land.
Right.
It's like one of the few things he's not very good at. Yet he was perfect at it against the Wiz.
It's embarrassing, but they're clearing the deck, and I think it's a good move. Otto, I never was for that max contract. It was stupid at the time, in my opinion. It's still stupid. He's, you know, if you actually look at it, he's been a fine player for the team. It's just so overpaid.
He's a nice complimentary player.
Right.
Who's getting paid an outrageous sum of money.
Well, the question is, you know, Beatles is not going to be moved before the deadline today. But the question is, do you think he'll
be... I wouldn't rule that out.
Well, not impossible. I'm just, you know...
I don't think they're going to move Beal because they need somebody.
But
he's going to be their piece to build around.
But here's the question. Right, so that leads into my next question. Do you keep him long-term and kind of build around him, like clear the deck like they're doing? They're going to have 7 or 8 different guys on the roster next year. Or do you get rid of Beal next year before the deadline and really start from scratch when the only big salary piece is Wall?
Yeah, I don't know when you move him or if you move him because he's a rare bird at this point in that he doesn't make outrageous money for his production. Now he's, I think, due $56 million over his next 2 years. Which you look at, you're like, that's a lot of money, but he's
not
playing
real.
At an all-star level.
Is he eligible for a Supermax after the 2 years? How's that
I
work?
I would assume so. I'm not sure how that works.
Grabby, can you find that out? See if Beal's eligible for the Supermax? He's certainly eligible for
a
big contract.
I get the sense that they're not going to trade Brad. Beal. They're not going to completely blow it up. It's going to almost be like a Redskins redo where you never totally bottom out. And you just still, I personally think this will all end up the same. We're just going to be stuck in mediocrity still. Because the $40 million or whatever that you owe John, who's not going to be able to play at an elite level ever again, that's just going to weigh this franchise down for the next 4 years. You can't give a guy $40 million and get nothing out of it.
I think they're likely to do that. I wouldn't mind the total teardown and trade Bradley Beal.
You could, but then you're really starting from scratch.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to take your lumps.
And it's going to take years. And that's if you get lucky.
We've been talking about this for a couple years. They're stuck.
They are stuck.
They've been stuck.
I don't have the answer.
Even if John was healthy and you got the production that you've been getting from Bradley Beal and you got the production from Otto that he was giving you 2 years ago,
all right,
not the production this year, you were at best a 4 or 5 seed.
The thing is, I've never seen a fan base so delighted to tank. I've never seen a fan base so excited to abandon ship and to blow. Have you ever, like in any other city, has a fan base been this excited to blow it up? The first sign of it, people are thrilled.
I'm sure
they don't care when you get returned. Just get rid of them.
Right.
That's how.
So the other thing,
you know, fed up people
Wizards
are.
Fans are fed up. They've had enough of the mediocrity and the wheel spinning and winning 41 or 40 games. They're just tired of it.
Well, that's the other thing. By the way, Bradley Beal not eligible for the Supermax unless he makes all NBA. That's the reason that
really
that's the reason
that's
that
why
Wall
John
was
eligible.
Wall made third team that year.
Okay, so he might
but
be doable.
The other risk with keeping Beal is maybe he becomes pissed off. You know,
sure.
He gets disgruntled
if he doesn't like what's happening around him.
Yeah.
He could just go to his agent and say, I want out. I need a different destination.
Right. I mean, there's no way he's happy winning 25
because
or 30
somebody
games.
Somebody pointed out, all these guys that are demanding, I can't remember, was it Chris Miller? Somebody that we had on the show. All these guys that are demanding to get out. And they're getting on playoff teams.
Right. Yeah. Why wouldn't you bitch and moan if it behooves you to move to a playoff team? Yeah. Of course
you're
gonna
do that. So how many
years
does Beal have left?
Two.
Next year and so 2021.
So I'll double check on spot track.
Yeah, I mean, he may say, look, Ted, I'm not re-signing. I'm not signing an extension.
Right.
I don't want to be here anymore. You guys are going nowhere. John's always
hurt.
Seems
to have a good relationship with Ted. That would be a turn.
I'm sure he might, but he might say, you know what, I want to go try and win a championship.
I really believe they're going to change the front office. And I think that it's just going to be an acknowledgement that Ernie, yes, I like what he did last night, and we'll see if he continues to do it. But it's going to be acknowledgement that all of these guys that they've drafted that were supposed to be your future, including a high draft choice. Mm-hmm. Otto is the third pick in the draft. Kelly Oubre, drafted in 2015, not necessarily a high pick. By the way, they played the same position.
Right.
So both guys that you drafted from that position, you've moved. And the guys that you've picked up by trading picks, like Markieff Morris, you have now acknowledged not good enough to get it done. You've traded them all away. I think when you just look at that list of first-round picks or first-round trades and you see that it's failed, you can't keep Ernie. You can't.
Well, people are going to
agree. Everyone
agrees with that.
I know, but I think it's this the last straw.
Maybe.
They're going to bring in a new guy who might be like a nerdy, analytic, numbers guy who's going to, I think, bottom out this team and start over.
I still wouldn't be surprised if Ernie somehow survived through all this because he survived through 16 years already. And by the way, Beal does have 2 years left. $27 million next year in 2021, 28.7. And then he's a UFA in 2021.
Well, maybe next year, you know, you get some real value for him because he still has the extra year.
Right.
And you can trade him to a team that, you know, is willing to take on that salary.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe next year before the deadline is the time to move him.
Now, I don't know how this fits into the equation, but think about this. There was a report yesterday that the Wiz were also sniffing around Mike Conley and Mark Gasol. And see, that kind of throws a wrinkle in everything because I don't believe Conley's got an expiring contract. I think he's under contract until 2021.
He's out of max.
And I'm not sure what Gasol is either. So that could muck up the whole thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So
multiple years.
And didn't you see that report?
Yeah,
that the
Candace Buckner reported it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
well, that was
no plan.
Exactly.
I would think the Beal would be involved in some deal involving Conley and Gasol.
Gasol has 1 year left on his deal at $26 million next season.
So got 1 year left and Conley's got two.
I'd have to look at Conley, but yeah.
All right, we'll Conley's a free agent in 2021.
We'll
come
as
back,
Bradley.
Take some of your calls. It is open line Thursday if you want to chime in on the Wizards or anything else. 800-636-1067.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. We're going to get Tony Massenburg's take on what the Wizards did coming up at 8 o'clock. Wizards, if you missed it, traded Markieff Morris in the middle of the night. Because I don't think that happened.
Hadn't happened by the time I went to bed.
Bucks game. I for whatever reason, watched till the end of the Bucks game.
Yeah, quite silly Wesley Johnson. I think he's been on nearly every NBA team at this point.
Exactly. I can't believe Wes Johnson's making the money he is.
I mean, what is he making?
I think it was $20 million.
Wesley Johnson is making $20 million a season?
I thought he was making $20 million this year.
You can't even relate to NBA money. It's so crazy.
That can't be right.
Maybe not. Maybe
he's a nubber.
So he's making about $6 million per point?
He's probably making like $5 or $6 million, which is what nubbers in the NBA make.
Because he's averaging 3.7 points per game.
I thought I saw that this morning, but maybe
I'll double check on my handy-dandy go-to
site. Well, I do know Jabari Parker's
maybe
making $20 million.
Maybe I saw the total number of his contract.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Parker's making
might have been
20.
3 years for $20 million. That's probably what it was.
But Jabari Parker, who here's my thing: Parker and Portis both were averaging more than Otto Porter this year. Irrelevant because they're probably both rentals. Bobby Portis, I think maybe they'll make a play to re-sign him because I think he's a tough player and I think he would help defensively, help them on the boards. He's averaging 14.1 points per game this year and 7.3 rebounds for him. I believe he's a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So that means other teams can make offers and the Wizards could ultimately match.
He might be a piece you want. You know, stretch four. He can go out there and shoot it and get some boards.
Yeah, and
maybe.
He can beat guys up on your team's kicks.
Yeah, exactly. He can be the locker room enforcer.
That's what he's
most
known for, punching Nikola Mirotic.
That's right.
I don't think Parker's part of their future. I think they have a team option on Parker. So if he blew them away in the next...
I don't think that's humanly possible that would happen.
Maybe they would choose to keep him, but he's got such a bad injury history. I think you'd be hesitant.
Plus,
even if he was
great. He got out of shape. He's never, I don't think he's rounded into the shape when he was actually drafted.
But he'll also be able to put up numbers. If you look at his game logs, he puts up numbers from time to time.
Yeah, but you'll want him.
Probably not.
Yeah, he's not going to.
But the big thing is they cleared the
deck.
They got rid of the big contracts, which will give them flexibility in the future.
This is all we talked about yesterday was what can they do? They got to do something. You got to move one of the big three.
Can you find some audio? I should have told you during the break, Valdez, and I apologize. Maybe you can do it during this segment. Can you find some audio yesterday when we had Scotty on and we asked him several different times about does this injury change your way of thinking now? Are you going to be sort of more open to moving somebody? And he mentioned several different times that we're going to listen to all offers. We're open. We're always trying to improve the team. It was a different sort of answer, though. It was a different openness than what they've had in the past.
We pressed them a little bit, too.
Yeah. And he probably knew what was in the works.
It was a different tone from him.
I give you credit, Mr. Bickle, for pressing him.
For prying.
Now, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I think I actually brought it up. Yeah, I see. I'm doing
that. You are doing
it. I think I brought the top.
I always like to ask him, but I just want him to know, we're not trying to be a jerk here. I'm just trying to ask. Have you had a conversation with Ernie or Ted or anybody there in the front office since John's injury where you guys have acknowledged we need to open this up here a little bit and look at every opportunity, maybe in ways that we hadn't in the past?
Not yet. I mean, we just knew about this a couple of days ago, so it's definitely fresh. It's something that definitely will be addressed and going forward, but right now we can't worry about that right now. But
that's actually not the point because he said multiple times
before that.
Yeah,
I believe.
He said multiple
times. He offered
times.
It up before on the previous question, and then we kind of followed up with that. Irrelevant. They did it.
Well, no, I want to hear it. I like to hear it if you could find it, but that's all right. We'll bang out some of these calls. I want to hear from
Trevor
you.
Trevor might get moved. Jeff, Otto, anything like that? Has that been talked about?
I'll just put it this way. Nothing's really been, not talked about. We always talk, and if there's something that's going to help our team, going forward, we have to look at that. It only makes sense. But right now, we're just going to worry about I'm just worried about tonight. We got to focus on trying
Every time they go to that cliche, we're just worried about tonight.
You know something's going on.
Something's going
on. Well, you know what? We should have been worried about
tonight.
Couldn't
wait to get off that.
Which was last night.
Let me ask you this. He didn't seem very worried.
Let me ask you this. What time did the auto trade come down?
A little bit before the game.
Right before
the game. He was warming up.
Yeah.
I was going out to dinner, actually.
Because I think I heard it in the first quarter, but I didn't know if it came down like earlier in the day and I just missed it or if it came down right there.
Right.
I couldn't remember when it came down.
No, I think
it was in the evening.
He was, you know, like in his shooting jersey, shooting around, and then all of a sudden he started dapping guys up, saying, see you later.
I wish I'd known that Portis was being involved because he was definitely one of my DFS sluts, and he got this.
Did the fan do the breaking news, everybody? Did they do
I'm
that?
I'm sure they did.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to Russell and Aaron Hawksworth. They were on.
They were breaking
it as it was occurring. Yep.
I saw Bobby Portis when he found out the news. He just, like, took off, supposedly. They said he has a Louis Vuitton bag and his shoes.
Right, went to the airport probably. Said, book me a flight to D.C.
They said he was distraught.
Hilarious.
To leave the Bulls? What?
Well, you know, if you have a home there and you've been there for a while.
It turns your life upside down. It turns your life upside down.
It's not like you're going to the Warriors.
It's part of the business. These guys know that they can be traded.
You're going to one of the bottom, you know, five or six teams in the league.
It's basically a lateral move.
You know what? He went from a number to a number.
The Bulls may be worse record-wise, but they have Lauri Markkanen.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? Now you can find some clubs in Chicago they really likes.
I actually was reading some of the Chicago blogs, and they were thrilled to get Otto. They're thrilled to get Otto because I think talent-wise, they didn't feel like they got the better of a trade in a long time. And they actually think they got the better of that one.
He might fit in well. Look, they drafted Lauri Markkanen with top five pick 2 years ago. And he's really good. I think he had 30 points last night.
Well, someone's got to take shots.
He's more of a power forward stretch four, so Otto will fit in there.
All right, want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. What's your reaction? I'm going to guess it's universally applauded. And it's not because they care about Bobby Portis or Jamari Parker. They don't know anything about those guys. They're just thrilled to get rid of Otto.
Yeah.
They're just thrilled to move on from Marquise.
It's not
no disrespect
Otto
to them.
Otto was a great guy.
Yeah.
It's not just a guy who was in a bad position because his production wasn't coming close to the output that matched the salary that he was making.
But he wasn't the only one. The team chemistry is not working.
Right.
This team is not
working.
Something
had to be done, and Otto was the sacrificial
lamb. So I'm going to guess when we go to these phones here, 800-636-1067, it's going to be universally applauded.
Our poll is at 83%, so not universal, but the
vast
majority of people supported the move.
Let's go to Dave, College Park. Dave, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, buddy?
What up, Dave?
What do you think?
Wonderful. Wonderful, man. You're right 100%, EV. There's no doubt that the city is celebrating getting rid of this dead money. And you're right. There's a few teams that were actually looking for Otto Porter, believe it or not. Sacramento really said on the line last night that they wish they had got involved and got him. They think he's a decent piece. They don't really know how bad that he's just not a clutch player. But the reason why
it's Otto's money, clutch player, you can say that, but also often injured. He is brittle.
He's got some hip issues, and then he just disappears for large stretches. That's like a corpse half the time.
For the money he's getting paid, he's just not an impact player. If you look at for the money he's commanding and the salary that he's got for the next few years. But I was looking at the salary cap, and you're right about Jabari Parker. He is a team option for next year. The Wizards, believe it or not, only have five players on the contract next year.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was telling the call screener, I believe Bradley Beal could actually be on the move as well, because I think Ted Leonsis is going to realize that if somebody blows him away with an offer, and Bradley Beal has an attractive contract like you guys were saying, he's at $27 million for the next couple of years, so that means nobody's going to have to worry about him getting, a max contract. So that's very attractive for a decent team that could push them over the top. And with the Wizards being in the lottery, now they've changed this lottery to where that all the teams have a fair chance. Can you imagine if the Wizards got that player for Duke, Zion Williamson, and if they had the ability to get two max contracts next year? Because if you get rid of Bradley Beal's contract as a Bari, they'll have 70-some million available. That includes John's $37 million. So I'm not saying it would happen, but believe it or not, you're right about the full rebuild. I think Ernie's going to be gone. I think Ted's starting to realize, hey, look, with John being gone another 12, 14 months, hey, we got to look at the full picture here. And with the opportunities, you just don't know. You see all these trades that are happening. Who knows? I mean, Tobias Harris for the Clippers, he got four picks for him yesterday from Philly. So you don't know what a team might offer for the Wizards for Bradley Beal.
Let me correct you, Dave, on the lottery. Not all the teams have a fair chance of getting Zion Williamson. But only the bottom three have the equal amount of percentages.
So, well, actually, let me correct you on something. So as I saw the not to be difficult, I saw the percentages yesterday. They showed the top eight teams here. The Wizards were at the bottom at 6% chance,
right.
And they had showed the top team at the Knicks at 14% chance. Now that's only 8% chance to me difference. Okay, they have changed the way that the top teams tanking don't automatically have a greater chance.
Correct.
So I understand
correct.
What you're saying. Yeah. Right, so I'm just saying that, I mean, look at all these great stars. Duke's got two superstars out there. I'm just saying the Wizards have a real chance here to get, if they can clear the deck, they're just clearly taking on dead money. They got rid of Marquise Morris' debt contract. So Jabari gone next year. Trevor Reese is looking, the Lakers are looking for him. So you'll probably see him gone tomorrow. I mean, the Wizards are just folding 10th. Everybody's going to start tanking. So
Well, first of all, that's not the way I look at it. I don't look at it. There's a difference between 8%. I look at it as there's a 92% chance you're not getting number one pick.
Right,
correct.
All right, so I don't know
that's how you have to look at it.
I don't know what numbers Dave's looking at.
No, but that is how you have to look at it. People have to realize that.
What? That 92% chance.
You're way more likely to not get it.
Exactly. So
just because you lose a bunch of games.
The way they've changed the lottery, the bottom teams still have the luxury of getting that number one pick. Now, they've taken away the 25% for the worst team, and they spread that out over the three worst teams, but the Wizards aren't getting their one pick. And they're not getting the number two pick.
Maybe you hold on to Bradley Beal and see what happens in the lottery. And if you get lucky with that 6% chance or 8% chance or whatever it is, then you decide we're going to build our team around that guy, the lottery pick, Zion Williamson or Barrett or whoever it is. And then you move Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, EB kind of sold me on build around Bradley Beal. Are you actually going to be able to draft somebody better than Bradley Beal? I love Bradley Beal. He's a great player. The thing that's going to suck about it is he's kind of stuck on just a mediocre team for the next two seasons.
Not if he wants to force himself out and request a trade.
Now, Dave is right that they're going to have a ton of new faces on this roster.
Right. I think Green will go today. I think Ariza will go today.
Maybe at least one
of
those guys.
Although I saw Adrian Wojnarowski say that the Wizards are interested in re-signing Ariza, and Ariza apparently wants to stay.
Yeah. I like Ariza.
Look, they got rid of a couple small forwards, which is what Ariza plays, right? They got rid of Morris, who's been playing there, and they got rid of Otto. By the way, think of how many starters from the beginning of the season are now starters on this team now. I believe it's just Brad.
He's last man standing.
Because John Wall's hurt.
Right.
Markieff Morris was a starter. Yeah, Otto was a starter, and they were planning on going with Dwight Howard.
Well, that's a big, massive
bust. By the way, you can
still... their key guy off the bench was Kelly Oubre, who's gone.
You can still trade Ariza and get some pieces for him and then get him back next year if you really wanted him.
Right.
But you know what? Maybe they just feel like with the pieces that they added, they still can battle for that 8 spot. I think they're demented.
I don't think that's... The 8 spot is a delusion. It's a mirage.
I just,
the way they're playing defense, there's
exactly.
No way they're
under
way
the
they're
luxury tax now, right?
Yes. They
are. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I think that's what that was about. And then they go from there and see what happens. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Market. Chris, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Big deal. The Wizards have started the purge.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I don't know if necessarily the moves they made them a better team, but it did get rid of two contracts that were definitely holding the team back from getting better. And with that said, I think they have the opportunity. I don't know if they're going to capitalize on it, but they have the opportunity to acquire assets that are going to make the team better in the long run.
Right. The question is, who's going to be in charge of making those moves?
And you got to make the right picks, the right assets. You got to get lucky. There's just so many factors. Well, I'm telling you, it seems like the most daunting task ever to try to put together a championship team in the NBA. It seems so difficult.
I tell you what, the team they played last night, the Bucks, it's not like they had a slew of number one picks.
No, but they hit an absolute grand slam with Giannis.
In fact, their last top pick, like really top pick, was Jabari Parker.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, well, Parker had two surgeries that have really crippled him.
But they also have really good complementary pieces with Middleton and Bledsoe.
Bledsoe's a good player.
Brogdon's good.
It's very rare that you pick a guy in the middle of the first round who becomes like an all NBA force, like the Greek Freak.
Yeah, they got lucky.
It rarely happens, but they hit on it. They nailed it.
In some ways, it's kind of a shame. I mean, John's injuries, they're really a shame. What's happened to him over the last 2 years? I mean, he'll never be the same now. But even before that, he was diminishing. And then, honestly, you never really – they kind of did a good thing bringing in Dwight Howard just to see – and you never even got to see how that was going to work.
Right.
You never got to see it. It was sort of their last grasp at it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked bringing in Ariza. You know, imagine if they still had Oubre. Like, they did have some talent. Just
never, wasn't working. Just didn't. And none of those guys played defense, like you said.
Oubre did. Oubre did.
Yeah, Oubre did. You're right.
Let's go to Brian in D.C. Brian, what's up? You're all with the Junkies. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
What's up? Doing great.
What's up?
That's good. All right, let's get to it. This is about Ernie trying to save his job because Ernie didn't get any first-round draft picks for any commodity that we had. He's purposely trying to make sure that this job does not look good to other GMs by having the assets necessary to make this an attractive job.
It's not an attractive job right now, that's for sure.
And the trades that he's making, he's not making it any more attractive.
I would disagree. I think it's a very attractive job.
Hold on a second.
If you become the NBA GM for Ted Leonsis, you could have a 15 to 17 year run.
You don't even have to win.
It might be the most attractive job in all of the NBA.
Yeah, it's called job security.
You can make that argument.
It's amazing what's happened with their first round picks. This is the draft history since 2010. They drafted John Wall. That's a can't miss, right? It's the number one pick. Thank you, Brian. They drafted Jan Vesely in 2011.
That was one of the worst draft picks in history.
I would also say this was a can't miss. They drafted Bradley Beal and Satoransky in 2012. Otto now has been traded. That was their 2013 number one pick. In 2014, they traded that pick. They got Marcin Gortat, who's since been traded.
But Gortat gave them some good years.
In 2015, they traded their top pick, and then they got Oubre. 16, they traded that pick. Eventually, that was Bogdanovich, which ended up being a rental, Bobo Draino. Traded away the pick in 2017. That's Markieff Morris, who they just traded. And, Troy Brown Jr.,
right.
This year.
Jury's still out.
Yes.
Hasn't played a lot.
No.
Well, definitely the jury's still out.
But I mean,
well, you know what? You play him.
Can't shoot.
You play him 25 to 30 minutes a night down the rest of the season.
See what
you have in him.
Yeah.
Help him develop a little bit.
For sure.
Don't let him languish on the bench.
Point is,
it's not going to make the playoffs.
For some reason, I don't think they're going to do that.
Point is, you go through 8 or 9 years of drafts, and yes, you hit on John Wall, number one pick, and you hit on Bradley Beal. Other than that, they're all gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. Either the pick or the guy you drafted.
See, because Portis and Parker are going to get minutes. They're going to get minutes.
And they'll put up numbers.
I mean, they're still going to allow 140, but they're going to get minutes. So I don't think the younger guys are going to get any more minutes.
800-636-1067 is the number. Your chance to steer the show on an Open Line Thursday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. We are the Junkies on an Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, steer the show at 800-636-1067. NBA trade deadline is today, and we're talking about the Wizards. Do you like what they did? They moved Otto Porter and Markieff Morris. This year, they have made three deals.
You could have stopped with moved Otto Porter, and yes, I'm happy with that.
This year, they've moved Kelly Oubre, who they drafted in the first round a couple years ago. Otto Porter, who they drafted in the first round and gave a max contract.
It also kind of tells you what a farce the NBA trade deadline kind of is, because the Wizards move Markieff Morris, who's banged up with a neck injury. I don't think he's played like in the last, I don't know, 20 games.
He doesn't say
and another
weeks.
Team will just be like, sure, we'll take him if it makes the numbers
it's
work.
Expiring contracts.
Yeah, it's an expiring deal. And the Wiz take on Wes Johnson, who's been very underwhelming in his NBA
the
career.
The Wizards traded a nothing for a nothing.
Right. Yes.
That's what it came
pretty
down
much.
To.
But they've unloaded three guys, and you can give us your take at 800-636-1067. The trade deadline, though, also gets on the nerves of some players because their names get brought up and maybe they are not going to be traded.
Right.
And even beyond this season, Kevin Durant, who at one point was my favorite guy in the NBA, I've kind of lost it. He peaked. His pinnacle was when he won the MVP, and he gave a very touching speech,
right,
thanking everybody.
Yeah,
right.
Ever since then, he's become kind of a bitch.
He's turned into like a heel.
He's always on social media.
You know what he is? He's grumpy. He's a grumpy guy.
He's got fake accounts.
He's decided he was just going to be himself. He was going to stop being like fake nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he's just going to be himself.
And yesterday, so he's been silent to the media for 7 or 8 days. Ever since like these rumors that he wants to go to the Knicks have been out there. And yesterday, he finally spoke to the media. But just listen, this is why I don't like him anymore.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
All right, then. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't know if you can play the end of this clip. If
that's probably the same thing I would tell
you. If you play it beyond that, he says, I'm tired of talking about all these trades or whatever. I just want to talk about the game.
The
guy
is,
asked him about the game, and he said, you don't care about that.
Well, you know what? I guarantee you that's an honest answer.
Right.
Right.
I guarantee
the problem
it's an
is
answer.
These guys all need the media. The media has helped make them a star. I mean, their talent makes them a star, but the media hyping them up, doing stories about them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course they need
showing
the media.
Their games
so
on
gone.
TV.
Durant is so gone. I don't know where he's going to end up, but he's gone.
I don't know
why is he so
why.
Why is he so insecure? He's an insecure MF-er.
Maybe he is.
Like, if I won an NBA MVP and I won a couple titles, you know, I would kind of have that go F yourself.
Well, part of the reason
criticize me. Who cares?
He's insecure because people joned on him for joining the Warriors to get his ring. That's
right.
It has to
he probably
be
feels like, I need to go somewhere else and prove I can do this
right.
With my own guys.
Well, that's what it is. It's a legacy thing.
I
also think he can't stand Draymond. He probably doesn't like the media out there. He's just gone. I don't know if he goes to the Knicks or
Well, if
know,
he doesn't like the media
Clippers
in Golden
or
State,
wherever.
He's really going to hate the media if he goes to New York City.
Maybe. I don't know. He just needs a change of pace, and he's gone. He'll win another ring, so that'll be three for him, right?
Yes.
Grant, yeah, he'll be done after three.
I think he's frustrated because he wants to be the best player in the league and known as the best player, and everyone said, well, you're not the best because you haven't won any rings.
Right.
Then he goes and wins all the rings, and everyone's like, well, you're just on a good team.
Yeah,
you're
a bandwagon jumper.
He just can't win,
part of,
so he's better.
Part of the insecurity.
But he should have seen that coming, though.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. He is insecure because he did win the MVP, and his numbers are as good, if not better. Like, when you look at efficiency, block shots, rebounds, all that stuff still puts up points. Not as much because he's got Steph and Clay and doesn't have to put up as many points. But the league now talks about James Harden. Mm-hmm. And Giannis and LeBron, of course. So he's kind of down the list now, where he was 1A
you know
to
what?
LeBron.
We're not him. We don't walk in his
I
shoes.
I don't care about Kevin Durant.
He makes
Unless
so
he's
much.
The Wiz, I care about him not at all.
All we say is just go out and make your $35 million or whatever you're making.
Go live your life. Be happy.
But it's easy for us to say that. Like he's a different person.
Yeah, of course.
I mean?
Boo-hoo. You have to talk about being traded. Oh, wah-wah. Tough life you live.
But he's,
you see, that's what I'm saying. See, that's the reaction of most of the country.
Right. But this is why. It's because he's one of those guys who goes on social media and likes tweets, you know, that are like grilling other people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He gets into like spats. On like who? Why would you do
that? He's a millennial. All the millennials
that's
do it.
True. That's a very good point.
We don't think of these, you know, big NBA stars who are millennials. They're all millennials. Yeah.
When he first came into the league, and you forget, but like live stream and Ustream was big before these other social media sites hit. He would go on and he would like play music. He would DJ his own sets live for, like, he was happy-go-lucky.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But he's always been involved in, like, social media.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't be involved in the social media, but you don't have to start burner accounts to, like, grill other players and pump yourself
up. That's just embarrassing.
He pumps himself up on social media.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I can honestly say I've never had a burner Twitter account.
Right.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you just leave that to the fake Eric
Bickle.
You're
almost 50, though. All right. If you were 27,
yeah,
you
I
might.
Yeah, I know, but I've been involved in this since it's come out.
Yeah. Can we go to Mike?
Yeah,
DC?
Was it the Colangelo doc that was running all the burner accounts for the Sixers?
Well, he blamed his wife, right? Did we ever find out what happened?
Threw his wife under the bus. He's big stupid. Right. Big dumb dumb.
Let's go to Mike in D.C. Mike, what's up, man? You're on with the Jakes.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's up?
Look, y'all know what was 1 year ago this week?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
remind us.
2018. February 2018.
John Wall does those interviews in the Adidas camouflage while he's hurt. The team is on an 8-3 run, and he refers to his teammates as those guys. I'm happy for those guys. And I remember being at a sports bar watching that, saying, is he really saying this? Mm-hmm. We are dealing with a John Wall situation. Not to mention, a team that gave John Wall a contract 2 years before, July 17, before he was ever going to collect money on it. The lesson here is John Wall was not our guy. Bad deal on the GM side, on the organization side. And this is about to be the 76ers 2012, if not worse. Well, this team is going to be bad for 5 years.
Well, we'll see. It depends on what they do with Beal. If Beal stays, I don't think they'll be as bad as you think.
If he stays, he'll keep them somewhat competitive?
Yeah.
That's my big fear, is be careful what you wish for. Like,
now, when I say competitive, I mean, 30 to 38 wins.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not 10 wins. Sixers had 10 wins 1 year.
I think that's
a bad team.
I think it depends on who they put around him. Point is, though, you're going to be in that range where you've been, or like the Charlotte Hornets
it's
range.
It's purgatory is what it is.
You know what I mean? Like the Hornets, this year they might make the playoffs under 500. Sometimes they don't. You're just kind of stuck.
It's purgatory.
They are stuck. That's why I'm telling you, I would never want this job. It's terrifying.
Now, if they want to trade Beal and get a bunch of scrap for him,
well, then you're going to bottom out.
Then you could be in that 13 to 20 win season.
Then you're
range.
Really going to bottom out.
I don't think
out.
You necessarily get scrap.
Well,
you can get from a contender, if there's a contender that's willing to do it, good young talent for Bradley Beal and hopefully high picks.
Here's the problem, though, and it's been a problem for 18, 19 years. The plan, I think they do have plans, but they change all the time. Like, they had a different plan 3 days ago than their plan today. In fact, yesterday afternoon, they might have had two or three different plans. Because if the reports are true, again, if Candace Bruckner's report is true, is they were sniffing around Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, that's not tanking. That's not giving up. That's just trading assets and still trying to get better. And how much better are you really going
to
get
part
with Mike Conley
to give up
and Marc Gasol? How much better are you really going
to
get?
Unless it's deals to move them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Jason, was it in their plans to give up 148 to the Bucks? Was that in plans? Or that doesn't need to be planned. That's just something that's going to happen.
They gave up 50 points in the first quarter. 85 halftime.
Listen, I don't want to say it, but Scottie Brooks can't coach his team up, at least defensively. They could score with him, but he does not inspire them to play defense. So,
and his first season as the coach.
Can't continue.
His first season as the coach, they were one game from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm certain he's a great coach, but he obviously can't inspire this troop.
That was
to play
the pinnacle.
Defense.
That's his ceiling here.
They were a game from the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. John Wall jumping on the table, whole city was on fire.
Yeah. Well, those days are done.
And now we're left with basically smoldering ruins.
Yes,
is where we are.
It is what it is.
I mean, Wall's gone for over a year at this point. Trading off pieces. Oh, it's just a big mess.
800-636-1067. It's Open Line Thursday here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.